Hey everybody, my name is Alex and this is Lunchbox Radio. Now, thank you for joining me. I just saw my... So if you're not aware of how podcasting, at least the way I'm doing it, works, is I podcast through Anchor. And you've probably heard about Anchor from ads for Anchor. But basically Anchor was its own thing and was trying to be an internet radio thing. And then at some point they added podcasting and it took off from there. And then eventually Anchor got purchased by Spotify. So when you, the dear listener, gets a Spotify Wrapped notification, I get one too, but it's slightly different. So your Spotify Wrapped tells you all the stuff about all the demographic information about you specifically, your listening history. I get that. I actually get the same thing, but I get it from Apple Music instead. And so there's like a Wrapped season where I get my Apple Music Wrapped from Apple Music, but I get my Spotify Wrapped, which is all about all this different stuff from my podcast. It's all this different, really interesting stats broken down from my podcast. And first off, there are 12 of you who I am your number one listen. And to the 12 of you, I appreciate you. I now see you. And hey, why me, honestly, is my big question. But there are significantly more of you for whom I'm in the top five podcasts that you listen to. Also, hey. And even more of you who I'm in the top 10 podcasts that you listen to. If that sounds like you, give yourself a hand. But on that note, it also tells you what your most recent episode is, what your most popular episode that year is. And last year, it was pretty fucking predictable, if I'm going to be honest. But this year, it wasn't. And the reason why it puzzled me was because it was something I never would have guessed. My most popular episodes this year, which I'm going to go back and listen to because I have no recollection of recording it, because I'm very much I do things and then I do my best on them and then I release them into the world and just my brain cannot hold them or else I will eat myself alive. I also don't oftentimes listen to my own podcast because I think I sound like a absolute goddamn moron, which I probably do, but hey, if I'm your number one listen to podcast, then I'm glad you get something out of my stupidness. But the top episode this year, well, last year rather, was Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which in my brain I was like, oh surprise, popular thing is popular. Go figure. And that taught me nothing. This year, however, it was Baki Hanma. And I am very confused. I'm going to go listen to that episode because I don't remember that. I am sure I did it. I know I did it. I am just not in any way sure the way that thing went. So I'm going to go check that out and see if I can learn from past Alex exactly how it might make the podcast more appealing. But on that note, let's jump into what we're talking about today. And that's a little show called Gundam 00.
Anime considered. Lunchbox Radio.
Now, if you're not familiar with Gundam 00, I have a special thing for you guys, and that is a little just general summary of the plot. It doesn't get that gives almost nothing away, honestly. about what to expect from the show if you've never seen it. And I encourage you to go watch it. You can actually go watch it on Hulu. It's a good Hulu watch. And it's dubbed on Hulu, which is even better. But before we jump right into what I want to talk about with this show, let's get a quick summary. Let's get that quick summary with the help of my friendly neighborhood assistant, Aichan. Aichan, take it away.
You got it. Alex, Gundam 00, officially known as Mobile Suit Gundam 00, is a Japanese anime series set in a future where humanity has exhausted Earth's fossil fuels, leading to the adoption of solar power on a massive scale. The story is set in the year 2307 AD, where three orbital elevators belonging to the three major world powers provide Earth with solar power. The plot centers around a paramilitary organization called Celestial Being, whose goal is to eradicate war from the world through the use of highly advanced mobile suits known as Gundams. The main characters are the Gundam Meisters, pilots of these mobile suits, each with their own backgrounds and motivations. The series follows their struggles and the consequences of their actions on global politics and warfare. The narrative explores themes of interventionism, morality in warfare, and the impact of advanced technology on society. It portrays the complexities of geopolitics and the nature of conflict, questioning whether the end can ever truly justify the means. As the story progresses, the actions of Celestial Being trigger various responses from different factions, leading to significant changes in the world's political landscape.
I don't wanna yuck your yum, but it's pronounced Gundam. Maybe just know that going forward. But hey, so now that we have a very useful summary of just the concept of the show, I want to talk about societal promises, because when you first watch a Gundam, this is gonna sound weird, but when you first watch a Gundam show, you're hit with one thing every time, and that is war bad. Even something like as what abstracts it to a certain point, like say, G Gundam, you get this very much like war bad scenario, because G Gundam is unique in a way that it was not true of Gundam shows really until you get to something like Gundam Hathaway, and that a lot of what you see in G Gundam is Gundams having an effect on the world around them. And like, yes, you get to see the cool Gundam fights, but in like the first episode of that thing, when you see like Neo Italy's Gundam, it's fucking up Italy. Like, it's fucking up its country. And like, the people living in that country are like rightfully scared for their lives. Now that I've talked about that show in the past, you can go find it in the feed of the podcast if you want to hear my thoughts on that wild, wild show. But suffice it to say that this is, and I know how insane this sounds, I think to get the full effect of any given Gundam series, you need to do one of two things. You need to put aside the standard war is bad thing. You need to just move on from that. You need to understand that's what the Gundam show is talking about, so you can look deeper into it than just, ooh, war is bad. Or you need to watch it twice, which I know is insane, especially for a show like any of these Gundam, like many of the Gundam shows that are like multiple seasons, sometimes 24 episodes a season kind of thing. But I think that in addition to just war is bad, the best versions of these Gundam shows, of the different Gundam series you can find, do something else with their material. They don't just say war is bad. That's table stakes. What they do is they talk about something at a societal level that they can also talk about through the concept of war is bad. And in the case of Gundam 00, to my mind, when I sat down and watched this again, it was about societal promises. It was about the promises that the world makes each and every person that do and don't hold true. Oftentimes, outside of the control of that particular person. And to demonstrate that, you don't have to look far. In fact, you almost don't have to look at all, because you see that demonstrated in our very first character, in the four first characters you meet, arguably in all of the characters you meet in Gundam 00, with the exception of Graham Anker, who we'll get to in a second. And it's that makes it really interesting, because the four primary Gundam pilots in this show, and so before I get into this, I want to place this show in the history timeline of Gundam. So and I think of the timeline in two different ways. I think of it as A, this UC and non-UC, but this is definitely a non-UC show. This is an alternate history Gundam show. And for alternate history Gundam shows, there's before Gundam Wing and there's after Gundam Wing. And the reason why I say that is because before Gundam Wing, you got more things like G Gundam, where yes, it was a big cast, but it wasn't like Pretty Boys. It wasn't quite so Bishoujo-centric. After Gundam Wing, is when you get, like, the teams of people who are either operating one Gundam or operating Gundams, plural, to affect the world. And that is a direct result of Gundam Wing. If you don't have Gundam Wing, you don't get Gundam 00. Full stop. They're very close in their, like, treatment of their Gundam pilots, in their treatments of the story, all of it. And in terms of the Gundam pilots in this show, they're called Gundam Meisters when they're introduced. But every single member of the organization called Celestial Being that is basically doing its best, basically stopping all armed conflicts around the world at once, or as fast as they can, to ultimately remove war from the equation. So it's, you're wondering if there's any other thing like this. Jormungand is an anime where they do something like this. With Jormungand, the end goal, by the way, spoiler alert for both Jormungand and Gundam 00. In Jormungand, the ultimate end goal of that show is eventually the main character is revealed to, what the basically the main character is revealed to be, or the, not the main character, but the main side character, I guess I would call, Coco in that show, is revealed to kind of be the main antagonist, to kind of be the person who, the big bad scary monster in the closet. And she basically says, war sucks, I hate it, I hate guns, I hate weapons, I hate that nobody can get their head out of their ass, so I'm gonna do it for them. And she just enacts a thing that she calls Jormungand, which basically locks the sky off from all human use. By way of essentially in Gundam speak, you'd think of it almost as a Minovsky particle effect, in that, like, people just can't fly planes anymore. They just can't do it. And her point is, like, I'm being this extreme because this is the only way it gets done. And the thing about that show is it shows you such an extreme measure where it's like, as soon as it's turned on, the world changes. In a way that the world kind of can't immediately deal with. But in Gundam 00's case, the thing that triggers all of the pilots in Celestial Being, all of the Gundam Meisters in Celestial Being, from Setsuna to Lock-On to Haluya to Tieria, is they all, and even all the navigators like Mitsumuragi and all that stuff, and all those characters, is that they lost a primary thing. They had their innocence taken from them in a way that was never, that they never agreed to. They never could agree to. They never had the option of a safe universe. Their lives were immediately just like burned to the ground before they knew what was happening. And to drive this point home, these civilian college students who they're following for a really good part of the show. I think actually it's like either the second season, by the start of the second season or the end of the first season, the point with following them has revealed itself. And that is, and these two characters are named Luis and Saji. And Saji has a very Gundam-esque name he's named Saji Crossroads. And you meet them pretty early on as a kind of like a side thing. And it feels odd when you first see it, because it's just like you're following Setsuna and you're following Lock-On and Tieria and Haluya and them doing their Celestial Being thing, and all of a sudden they find a way to like have a news broadcast, and then they introduce Saji kind of through his sister, because his sister is a reporter, and Saji is kind of attached to the hip to this girl who very clearly like, she wants this man. She wants him to be her person. Like, she is like laser focused on him as like, he is my romantic partner forever. I will hear no other options. And it seems weird because at first you like, why are they doing this? And then when it settles in, you realize like, oh, this is to give you an outside perspective on what these crazy people, on what Celestial Being is doing in the world, and to show you kind of like that history is being made constantly by these four Gundam Meisters. But slowly, what you also realize, especially when they introduce Setsuna into the mix with Saji and Luis, is that they're comparing Setsuna's life, but therefore all of the Gundam Meisters' lives, to Saji and Luis's life. Because the big difference here is that the promise that society has makes to people has held for a certain period of time, for a much longer period of time, with Saji and Luis. Saji and Luis got a normal childhood, they grew up in a safe place, and they got to go to college. Whereas Setsuna was a child soldier, does not have much education, and the world has kind of crumpled in on him so hard that he, his choice that he took was to force correct for what's happening in the world, for the fact that conflict essentially took his entire life from him. And you see that to be true of every other character in Celestial Being. They all have these deep emotional scars from, as a result of the world just kind of cooking hot all the time. And if you're wondering, like, what that feels like, look around. Look at everybody right now trying to be the most Christmassy they can figure out, because the world sucks. And the thing that really made me think about this, that really made me think about the show, was, I'm not gonna lie, I was watching Undead Unlock, and I watched to the last episode that was available, and then, you know, it was queued in my Hulu queue, and it just played. But we're living in a time when a lot of those promises that we all understood to be true about society are just falling apart. Like, and they seem so basic that we took them for granted, but they're not. You know, people felt, there was a point at which we all felt safe. There was a point at which there wasn't a global pandemic. There was a point at which the governments didn't necessarily always seem like it had it exactly together, but seemed like it was more effective than it is. And, you know, everybody says that history is a cycle, and that, like, the generation... I'm a millennial. If you're listening to this, you're most likely a millennial, or a... most likely anywhere from millennial to... from Gen Z to Gen X, with millennial in the middle there. They say our parents' generation experienced similar things, but it doesn't feel like that, does it? It doesn't feel like there was quite as much breakdown of the systems that help everything kind of move as there is now. It now feels uniquely dangerous. It feels uniquely... It can feel uniquely hopeless. That's not to say that it is or isn't, but it can feel that way in a way that isn't familiar. In a way that not just isn't familiar, but is new, genuinely new, oftentimes. For as many, you know, new flares of the Israel-Palestine conflict as there are now, there are, you know, people getting kicked out of their homes. There are all kinds of insane things happening all over the world all the time, constantly. And there's nothing we can do about them. A great example was, I was walking to work today, and I was listening to a podcast about fast fashion. And so much of that podcast was about the fact that you shouldn't be making excuses to buy fast fashion. And it doesn't matter if it's cheap. Spend the money. If you don't have the money, save the money. Well, that's not always possible for people. You know, and that used to be, and I've thought about this with the with Anime NYC, I thought about this with lots of stuff, and I've really thought about it with the fact that I'm going to a country that does its best on some level to keep the societal promises that it makes people intact. And that's, I'm going to Japan on the 27th. If you've been listening for a while, I've talked about this a bunch. But I just got my Japan Rail Pass in the mail. It was one of the single best customer service experiences I've ever had. Because, just for a little bit of an aside here, the rule for Japan Rail Pass is you can only make the reservation within 3 months of when you're going to pick it, when you're going to use the thing. So I made the reservation thinking I was exactly at 3 months because I was excited. But I was outside of the 3 months. And I immediately got an email that said, hey, you're outside of the 3 months. So here's what we're going to do. Your order is still totally valid. We've got your money. Don't worry about that. We are going to hold this and run the application process when you're a month out. So there's no way, and we're going to next day it to you. So there's no way that you will not get what you need. That's incredible. And when I was in doubt, I followed the company on Instagram. I'm actually going to shout them out. They're called Japan Rail Pass. They're a Spanish company, actually. They're like when you get your voucher, it's registered to Spain, which is very funny. But I emailed them, and they emailed me right back, and they're like, hey, don't worry about it. We got you. And they got me. But the entire time, I'm like, this is fishy. This feels weird. This feels off. Because I wasn't prepared for something to go that smoothly. For something to go that fantastically. From a customer service standpoint. Because the societal agreement for how customer service should go in America broke down a long time ago. We all learned not to trust that shit. Because we're all functioning in this, like, nightmare hellscape where at some point you're just fucked and no one will ever help you. But that's not true in terms of kind of the legendary levels of customer service that oftentimes, and I've seen videos on this, you get in a country like Japan. So what's interesting here is once you have Saji and Luis in the same kind of frame as Setsuna, you see how damaged Setsuna is. You see how, and you also see how damaged each of the four Gundam Meisters are over the course of the show, and it's just, it's impressive. It's crazy because you get this understanding that this didn't need to be like this. But also, they further that narrative even more by introducing Graham Anker, who's an ace pilot from one of the different factions who controls these big orbital elevators that essentially monopolize but still distribute solar power. And he is somebody who has clearly worked hard, is clearly self-satisfied, but he has always, the societal pact has held up for him too. And when he starts falling short, he realizes that he's falling short to a kid. And it amuses him, but the reason why he doesn't have the same kind of drive is that societal pact has held for him. There's no threat of the world closing in on him because the world is what it is and he's done just fine. Whereas the status quo led to Setsuna's life, led to Lock-On's life, led to Hallelujah's life and Tierra's. And even all the crew members of Celestial Being. And it's just, and this is actually a great parallel that you could draw from Gundam 00 to a really excellent Gundam series, which I've also talked about on this podcast called Gundam Iron Blooded Orphans. The same thing is true with Iron Boy and Orphans. Although Iron Boy and Orphans is having different conversations about different things and doing something different there, and having, like, it's once again, war is bad, but it's having a different conversation about society even than Gundam 00 is. But the bad guys, the people portrayed as bad guys, the big bad in Iron Blood Orphans ends up being society. Ends up being the quote unquote world order. And in Gundam 00, that's also true. But the thing with Gundam 00 that's interesting is, and once again, spoiler alert for Gundam 00, is the other reason they introduced Louise and Saji is they're introducing you to characters for whom the scales are about to tip. They're introducing you to characters who are much closer to the edge of their reality than they realize. And as soon as that tips, as soon as that happens, everything's out the door. So, like, I've said spoilers a bunch of times now. I'm going to give away a thing. Eventually, Saji dies. And Louise is horribly disfigured due to the special particles that the Gundams are using to basically operate their machines. And Louise is sent on this path of basically being a fucking supervillain and being a serious antagonist to the Gundam Meisters. And there are all of these, as I mentioned in the summary, there are all of these consequences and all of these foreseen, but not perfectly foreseen, ripple effects of what Celestial Being is doing. And the interesting thing is, Celestial Being knows full well, oftentimes knows full well what's about to happen. Like, very early in the show, they show Miss Tsumeragi, who is the group's what they call forecaster. And her entire job is to just sit with her mind palace and just map out what's about to happen. Like, once we stop this conflict, what domino are we pushing on? And what falls in, like, a month? What happens in a year? What happens in 2 years? What happens tomorrow? What happens the day after that that was influenced by the thing that happened yesterday and also us? Like, Celestial Being, to a certain point in the show, is operating with an understanding that shit's gonna get weird, shit's gonna get complicated, shit's gonna get bad. But that's what it's going to take to try and shift out of this mode that created people who are capable of staffing this thing, who are capable of staffing Celestial Being. And if I remember correctly, because I didn't watch the whole show, because I think it's like a 52-episode thing with 2 seasons, they don't pull it off really perfectly, but they do affect the world in a meaningful way. And the core of it is that this, like, the thing that you see ultimately in this show, and one of the most interesting things about Gundam 00 is it's seen as the first post 9/11 Gundam show. I got that right. Because it's very interested in the Middle East, it's very interested in geopolitical politics on Earth, like specifically on Earth, in a way that many other Gundam shows aren't interested in. The Not even something like G Gundam, which primarily takes place on Earth. It's interested in the geopolitical nonsense of Earth. They're oftentimes interested in the relationship between Earth and an outside colony that Earth is governing. They're interested in, like, that simplistic link there. They're not necessarily interested in, like, why this country wants to bomb this country, why this country has hated this country for, like, 300 years. And they straight up were like, so, like, the Northern, the, like, the IRA called it quits because Celestial Being is here and nobody can figure out how to fucking kill them. And they are terrified. So that conflict's just over. And they're short. They're careful to call that stuff out so you understand that Celestial Being is having a real effect. And kind of achieving what they want to achieve at first. But the reason that they needed to go and do it anyway is because the world wasn't keeping up its end of the bargain. And moreover, had no... The top level of the world wasn't keeping up its end of the bargain. And had no real interest in doing that at all for anyone under it. It should be table stakes that, you know, kids don't get sucked into war. It should be table stakes that you can walk outside and, like, your sister goes out for groceries and comes back. That stuff should be, it should be table stakes that you make it through college alive. Or with all of your limbs intact. If that ever doesn't happen, it's not really your fault. Even if somebody can pin that shit on you, it's not. Because if it was possible for you to color so far outside the box that you die, then something's fucked up. Like, so I'll give you a perfect example. If you go to college and you end up getting addicted to drugs, that can be perceived as your fault, at that person's fault. But it can also be perceived as the fault of the people introduced to drugs in the scenario, the college for allowing the drugs to be introduced at all, like societal pressures, making kids feel like they need drugs, like the weird, like, societal decision to ramp down the way we look at drugs through the proliferation of prescription drugs. So I've been watching New Amsterdam, hospital drama show for a while now, and they have these, like, random one-off patients that medical drama shows often have. They're just, like, there to make one specific point. This was a really interesting, like, random one-off patient in the most recent episode who basically took too much Adderall and fried his brain. And that's how he ended up and gave himself brain damage and ended up in a psych ward, in the psych ward in New Amsterdam. And speaking of somebody who has worked in the advertising industry, there's a real pressure to, like, keep up. And the kind of flippantness with which Adderall is just used. I've heard, I'm like, I'm not going to give any names here, but I've heard this exact phrasing. Like, oh yeah, I'll just pop an Addy and write it. It'll be no problem. That's fucked up. But how does that get to a normal place? Like, how do people get such access to that? Because at some point, adults didn't like the way children were learning. And instead of figuring out how to teach better, they figured out how to wrangle the kids better. and introduce drugs into the system. And they're surprised when they're abused. Really? You're the one who broke the rules there, guys. You rewrote the rules because it didn't work for you and it ends up hurting somebody miles down the line. Surprise, surprise. And it's like there are people my age who have been to rehab for Adderall. Why was it available in the first place? Another perfect example, and I talked about this earlier, was the fast fashion thing, or started to hint at it earlier with the fast fashion thing. There's all of this, like, push for people to recycle. But if you're tossing every piece of plastic you have in the recycling, you're fucking up. There are different kinds of plastic. They all have different symbols. Most of them are not recyclable. And notably in other countries, they recycle in a different way. They'll do something like they'll take the cap off a bottle and they'll throw the bottle in the recycling, but the cap is the garbage. Because guess what? The cap isn't recyclable. The bottle is. The fact that that's so fucking complicated should not reflect badly on you because you don't know how to do it properly. It should reflect badly on the company because they did that. And the fun part about Gundam 00 is that it is the power fantasy it really is that in that, at least in the beginning of the show, that it brings, it's trying to bring culpability to the top of the pyramid. It's because so often, you know, people want to ascribe, and this is also true of real world conflict, like Israel and Palestine. The typical Palestinian and the typical Israeli do not probably hate each other specifically. They are probably fine with each other. If they saw each other on the street, they would not attack each other. But the top of those societies hate each other's guts and have for hundreds of years. What are you supposed to do with that? And if you look at the coverage of Israel and Palestine right now, a lot of it is people on the Palestinian side saying, please stop bombing us. People on the Israeli side saying, we need to find a peaceful solution to this. Please stop bombing them. Only the power structures are so fucked that they're not holding up the, like, basic promises that a country makes to its people, which is, you'll be able to go to sleep tonight and not get bombed. Like, come on. And that's the scenario, that's the environment in Gundam 00 that gives rise to Celestial Being. This whole show is an examination of the people on top decide to fuck around, so we're going to force them to find out. And that is the driving thesis behind their motivation in Gundam Iron Blood Orphans. It has a similar thing to Gundam Wing. It's different in traditional UC Gundam, which is a lot more tied up in, like, a big, long, historical storyline of, you know, Spathans versus, you know, the people of Earth kind of thing. But the thing that's really effective here is that war is bad, and being able to tell a convincing story about war is ultimately connected to high up in the food chain did not keep the promise of keeping their people safe for whatever reason. And it struck me as really interesting watching this show, especially the beginning of the show, in the times we're living in, because it's so clear for all of these characters that society has not kept its word to them. Or in the case of Luis, society will very soon just stop giving a shit. The scales fall from Luis's eyes pretty quickly, because it rips her life away from her and says, "But you're still alive. What the fuck are you gonna do?" And then, as soon as she like snaps like a twig, psychologically, there's also a part of society that is immediately there to take advantage of that. And that's the thing that you see most with Setsuna is, I realize I've not talked very much about many of the other characters, but if you think about it, even Celestial Being is taking advantage of these people who have kind of lost patience with society. Celestial Being has looked at these people and said, "Hey, us too. Get in the van. We'll figure it out." And that's not okay either. But it's a better solution than sitting around and letting it eat away at you. And I, like I said, I know I haven't like focused really on like the nitty gritty of this, but that's not really why I wanted to do this podcast. It's a fun show. It's got a great opening and ending song. And I totally suggest you watch all both seasons. At some point, there's a lot of like muscle car terminology that works its way into this show, which is wild. Oh, that is a wild thing to say. But and it's a fun show to watch. It's certainly engaging. But the thing that keeps sticking out to me when I think about the show and I think about my times watching this show since I watched it, I think at least 3 times, is the fact that all of the main the main characters and ultimately the main and the all the main characters in the show are ultimately betrayed by the system that we all understand is supposed to just keep the world running around us. That the system somehow cared enough about us for a brief moment to just immediately smack us down. Just immediately take everything away from us. In a way that we understood that it didn't care enough to do. Or so we thought. So on that note, if you like this episode, new episodes of the podcast come out every Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday shows are news shows. You can go listen to the previous news show in the feed right before this one. And if you really like the show, be sure to subscribe to it in whatever podcast app you use. And if you love the show, absolutely love it. If you're one of the 12 people listening right now who this is your top show, go give us a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and let us know and let me know why you like the show. And I will do my best to keep bringing that energy. Now, I have a Baki Hanma podcast to go listen to that I recorded at some point. So I will see you next time.